What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Built Different podcast. My name is Zach Clinton. I'll be your host. And as we continue to grow, I'll have friends joining me each week to interview some of the leading experts in the fields of motivational speaking, mental health, ministry, and even sports. Our goal is to instill hope, encouragement, and motivation in and through your life today. And our prayer is that after each episode, you'd be more equipped and encouraged to look, love, and live more like Christ from the inside out. That's our definition of what it means to be built different. So I hope you're ready. You better buckle up. Let's roll. What's going on, everybody? And welcome back to this week's edition of the Built Different podcast. I'll be your host, Zach Clinton. As always, I hope and pray you and yours had a blessed weekend and are just having a great start to your week. You know, over the last several days, our team here at AACC hosted our first ever Next Gen Conference, an event centered around youth mental health in Atlanta, Georgia. And let me tell you guys, we're giving God all the honor and glory for what happened in that place. He truly showed up and showed off like he always does in such a powerful way. Along with our specialized ABIS training, nearly 750 leaders, counselors, coaches, teachers, administrators, youth pastors, and more, everyone came together from all over the country to step into the mental health disaster we find ourselves in. Yes, to our knowledge, this is the first ever event on youth mental health of its type in modern day Christianity. The event featured leaders like George Barna, Sean McDowell, Megan Marshman, Matt Stanford, Chinwe Williams, Kathy Cook, Chap Clark, Emma Benoit, and so many more, as they, along with a select team of presenters, poured into those in attendance. We're truly so grateful for the ways God moved in and throughout that place, and we're already planning another event for 2025 to continually remind people that together we can make a lasting impact on the lives of the next generation. If you haven't heard of us here at the American Association of Christian Counselors, just a quick plug real quick. We're the largest and premier faith-based mental health organization in the world, and we're committed to assisting Christian counselors, the entire community of care, licensed professionals, pastors, and lay church members with little or no formal training. Our vision here at AACC really revolves around two critical dimensions. First, we seek to serve the Christian church worldwide by helping it become more mature in Christ while taking on God's heart of love and sacrificial care. But secondly, we seek to serve, educate, and equip professionals in the mental health field through continuing education opportunities, such as our world and national conferences, live webinars, other training events, and our printed education and training materials. We are committed to helping the church equip God's people to love and care for each other in the same spirit that Christ loves and cares for us. To find out more about all that we're doing here at the AACC, or to check out the countless resources, courses, and certification-based programs we have to offer, and things such as biblical counseling, suicide prevention, life coaching, and more, please visit our website at aacc.net. Again, my friends, that's aacc.net. That being said, you guys, as we steer back to today's conversation, it's going to be one that I absolutely love having, things that I'm so fascinated by, things that I love teaching on, things that I love speaking on, but things that I love learning more about each and every day. It's all about how so many of us have such an improper perspective or a poor relationship with suffering. I'm reminded of one of my favorite passages of scripture that you guys have heard me share on the podcast several times before, James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. They say, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith goes on to produce perseverance. So let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, lacking nothing." I'm also reminded of Romans 5, verses 3 and 4, which talk about we're called to glory in our sufferings because we know that our suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. My friends, yes, we don't consider it joy because of the suffering, but we can consider it joy, my friends, because of what that suffering can and will produce in and through us if we let it. My friends, that being said, our special guest today is going to be here to help us dive deeper into how we can shift our perspective and mindset and actually start to find joy in the midst of our suffering. He's a dear friend of mine. His name is Doug Elks. Doug is not only a former Division I college basketball player, having competed at Western Carolina University, but he's now the founder and CEO of Ambition in Mind, host of the AIM podcast, and someone who just has a heart for the Lord and a willingness and desire to do hard things. Doug actually ran and completed a 100-miler just a few months back, and today he'll be sharing several of the lessons and principles he's learned and now lives by throughout his life. So my friends, with that being said, let's dive in. Let's meet our very special guest, Mr. Doug Elks. Doug, my brother, thank you so much for joining me today.
Man, Zach, thank you for having me. I'm so blessed and honored to be here, and I'm really excited for this.
Dude, so excited, first and foremost, to have you in the Berg. I know you traveled your way up here, a Raleigh boy, up to Lynchburg, Virginia. We just grabbed some lunch at Cava. Good food, bro. Always good eats there. But so thankful to have you in the house. So thankful to be able to unpack a little bit more of your testimony, your story, the amazing things that God is doing in and through your life. We're going to hear more about those in our conversation today. But as we get rolling, I want to give a quick bio to acquaint our listeners and our viewers with a little bit more about who you are and what God's doing in your life. First and foremost, you are a former collegiate basketball player, played basketball at Western Carolina University. You're also the founder of AIM, Ambition in Mind, a ministry also that has a podcast just like this, where you're trying to help people unleash their potential, get 1% better each and every day. You're a man who is recklessly pursuing the heart of God, and you're somebody who really enjoys doing hard things. Doug, Listeners and viewers a little bit more about you, about your upbringing, maybe even your college basketball career and where God has taken you since then.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first off, Zach, I have to give you some credit, man, and just some praise. I am blown away and just so so grateful for all the things that you're doing for God and the things that you're doing with all the things he's put on your heart, your ministry and this show and Ignite, and just getting a chance to build a relationship with you has been really special. So I really appreciate you, what you're doing, man. But yeah, I grew up in Raleigh, North Carolina. Yeah. You know, kind of the first big part of my testimony that I talk about is just I did have some struggles up in my upbringing with a father who was addicted to drugs and alcohol. Mm. And that required me to mature way quicker than I might have otherwise if I didn't go through that experience. And we'll talk about it, I'm sure, later in the episode, but looking back on it, that was such a blessing that God allowed me to grow my faith, grow my relationship with him, and ultimately become a stronger man and leader to go out and serve people that are in similar situations. But kind of grew up in that environment, quickly found the game of basketball. It became my first love, and that's what I poured a lot of my time into. I loved the game, and I really did enjoy it, but I think it was also at the same time an outlet for me.
Yep.
And it became a place where I could escape, you know, the hard things I was dealing with. Obviously, I was trying to bring it to God, but at that point in my life, my faith was so young. I just wasn't matured in my faith, and you know, basketball became a god to me. It became you know, a big part of my identity, and kind of just go through the story. I ultimately had the chance to play Division I college basketball at Western Carolina, which was such a blessing, and I'm so grateful for that. But obviously, God continued to work throughout my testimony in my life and put other things on my heart. And so that's kind of where we are today now, you know, doing several different things, but in hopes that they're all in alignment with advancing the kingdom and helping more people know the name of Jesus.
Let me tell you, bro, like you said, I'm so grateful that we got connected several weeks ago, almost a month now, at our most recent Ignite Men's Impact weekend. And since then, you know, all of our conversations, I feel like, have been very synergistic. Everything is aligned. Everything is kind of going in that same direction. And so I'm grateful for collaborations like this. I'm grateful for your heart. You being a man that is recklessly pursuing God in this way speaks volumes of who you are. But let me ask you this, based on AIM, Ambition in Mind, where does, you know, I like to understand the backwater people's stories.
Yeah.
Why is ambition something that you feel like God really centered your heart and your mind around?
Yeah, it's a great question, man, because I, you know, up to my junior year in college, my goal, my thought, my whole desire was to coach in college. It was to coach college basketball or do player development for NBA guys in the league. Mm. And I thought that basketball was going to be my life. I thought basketball was going to be everything that who I was, but also what I did. And during COVID, I got what a journey that was to play college sports through the COVID era. But everyone got sent home, and I had some time to be really reflective and pray and spend some time with the Lord, just praying about, you know, what do you truly have for my life? Is it to continue to pursue this lane of basketball, or is there something else for me? And man, through that process, through that time in prayer and reflection, I just felt like he continued to place this thing on my heart of building a community, mm-hmm. and bringing people together in that time of, you know, negativity. There was a lot of darkness. There was race relational issues. There was so much going on in that year. And I was like, man, how can I have a little piece of just making a difference? How can I have a little mm-hmm. piece of making an impact, bringing people together? Something that I've always loved, even since I was young, and I think it stems from going through some harder times, is I've loved encouraging people. Yeah. I've loved just trying to see people get lifted up, because I've seen what it looks like when someone doesn't have that encouragement,
yeah.
or maybe doesn't receive that encouragement.
Yeah.
And so that was always heavy on my heart. So I started to pray about, you know, what do I call this? What does it look like? How does this take shape? Mm. And the word that kept coming to my heart, man, was ambition. Mm. And it was a word that, you know, I think, you know, God calls us to be ambitious in a lot of ways. He calls us to go out there and to work hard for his glory, not for our own self ambitions, but for the things that can advance and glorify him, advance the kingdom and glorify him, and bring people to know Jesus. And I was like, where does the ambition truly start? And I was like, it's a mindset. It truly is something that starts in your mind. You get to make the decision. You know, a lot of people will talk about motivation and these things, and that's good if you have it. But if you don't, you have to make the decision to do the things you need to be doing. And so I was like, man, ambition in mind, it clicked. And I didn't have a full vision for it, to be honest. I just knew the next step was to start to create content. And the next step after that was to make some shirts that, you know, expressed our messaging that people could support. And it was just one step after another, just kind of continued to gravitate and grow into what we do now. But truly was a blessing to start it. And the whole mission, the whole goal of it was, you know, God putting on my heart to build community and to encourage people.
Doug, like you're saying, you know, ambition at the end of the day, it's a mindset, and it comes down to a perspective shift. Something that God has blessed me with the opportunity of doing over the years is doing a lot of mental health care, you know, positions, counseling, coaching, in that lane. And something I've shared on the podcast several times before is a lot of people will always say, especially in sports, you understand this, coaches, whatever it is, they'll say, hey, Doug, win the day, win the day, right? And that's a great goal. But it's like, what's the strategy to get there in the first place? How do you win the day? What does that look like? A lot of people define it differently. Well, you know, maybe that's being better than you were yesterday. That's a great goal too. But how, again, do we accomplish that? I remember this one guy gave me this simple three-tiered kind of direction and strategy for winning the day. He said, my strategy is built on three S's. Number one is I submit or I surrender my day over to the leading, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Mm. Not morning by morning, but moment by moment.
Wow.
Second one was, he said, I want to serve. I want to get outside of myself. I want to grow into the team. I want to bless somebody each and every day to, in a sense, guide them back to the leadership, the stewardship of Christ. But then he said a third one, which is going to be kind of a topic of conversation for us today. He said, I want to suffer. He said, I want to do something hard every day, because it will remind me that I'm capable of overcoming. Mm. And our conversations that we've had over the last several weeks, phone calls, what you said is, man, Zach, I really want to help people understand, because a lot of people have a negative relationship with suffering, or a minimal understanding of the significance of suffering. Maybe they view suffering as a punishment. They view it as something that's bad. They view it as something that's just a never-ending obstacle, rather than the perspective of it's an endless opportunity. Doug, how has this relationship with suffering just transformed and been developed in your own personal life?
It's such a great topic. And it, like you said, it's something that God has just really put on my heart. And it's something that I feel very, very passionate to speak on. Cause I think the topic of suffering can be something that ends up being super encouraging.
Like, yeah.
I think it can be so encouraging when we start to unpack what can come from suffering and how God can truly use it to mature us and to complete us and the things that he wants for our lives. And so the first thing I'll preface before I dive into it is, I say this from a position of like being very empathetic of like understanding that, you know, in the midst of suffering, it can be really challenging. And it's, you know, we chatted about a story, a testimony before we started recording that. It's just like some things that happen in life are very heavy and are very hard. And it's hard to fully understand why we would have to go through something like that. But the beautiful part about it in the end is when we truly surrender our life to Jesus and we put our hope in him, there is hope. There's hope in that no matter what your suffering is, no matter what you're dealing with on earth, no matter if it's intentional, chosen suffering, like running 100 miles, or if it's, you know, something with growing up with a dad addicted to drugs and alcohol, at the end of the day, it's temporary, and we have eternal hope in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that is something that we can be encouraged by and look forward to. So no matter how hard it gets, no matter what it looks like, no matter what you're going through, there is hope at the end of the day, and you can continue to cling to that and have faith in that. But to go back to your question, man, I think what I've seen in my life is the hardest seasons, the things that I've gone through, the things that I've wrestled with, where I'm just like, why me? Why am I going through this? Have been the same things that have built me and matured me and put me in a position to go out and make a difference and make an impact and actually serve people. I think a lot of us want these opportunities to make a difference and to have a platform and all these things. But if you haven't gone through the fire, if you haven't gone through the storms, what do you have to offer? What experience, what maturity do you have to give to someone? And there's encouragement in that, because a lot of times we're most equipped to go serve the person that we once were, or the people that are going through things that we've been through. And so time and time again, I see suffering as an opportunity, as a privilege to grow and become all that God has for me. And at the end of the day, no matter how hard it gets, no matter what it looks like, I know God is good. And I know what Jesus said on the cross is the ultimate suffering. And he did that for my sins and for my temporary sufferings to end when I put my faith in him. And so there's hope in suffering. There's encouragement in suffering. And it's an opportunity and a privilege to suffer so that we can glorify God in all we do.
It's an opportunity and privilege to suffer so that we can glorify God in all that we do. A lot of people, like you said, Doug, suffering can be really challenging, really hard. We get that, right? Suffering's a part of life. But unfortunately, when we don't understand where our hope is found, where our identity is found, right, it can be very discouraging, deflating, disappointing, almost to the point of making us feel like we've been defeated. I remember a story of Dr. Rick Rigsby, who's a dear friend of ours at Ignite. We kind of dubbed him as the closer. He wasn't able to join us our last, most recent Ignite Men's Impact Weekend this past March, but he'll be with us in the fall in October. But he's a guy who has gone through a lot of suffering. A guy who, in a sense, has taken on like a modern-day life of Job, kind of. He lost his first wife, Trina, to breast cancer. He watched her endure that for years, eventually watched God call her home. And I'll never forget, he shares a story how he was on his knees weeping at the foot of her casket at her funeral. And everybody was just watching him just weep out, just suffering. And his dad came up and wrapped his arm around him and said, you know, son, are you okay? Type of thing. Like, I'm here for you. And he looked up at his dad and said, Dad, I feel like I've lost all hope. And his dad looked down at him and said, son, you can't lose something that God gave you.
Wow.
He said, you haven't lost hope. You've simply lost perspective. I would dare to say, Doug, that there's somebody out there listening today who's going through something really, really hard, feels like they're in the midst of a suffering season, and they've lost perspective. But something I like to remind people of is that you have to remember the significance of perspective, because your perspective will always steer your potential. Doug, help the listeners out there, the viewers out there, understand just a few maybe simplistic, practical perspective shifts that can help them remind themselves of where their hope is anchored and found, so that way they can weather whatever storm they may be going through today.
Yeah, man, that's good. You know, one of the biggest things that I like to talk about first with this topic is gratitude, because I think it's so easy for us, myself included. I can give you countless examples of times I've been like, man, why am I going through this? Why am I dealing with this? Whatever. But you talk about perspective shift. Yeah. If you reframe it and say, I get to go through this, I get to endure this, it just changes everything. Running 100 miles, I know we'll probably talk about it later, but it's so relevant in my life because it's taught me so many lessons, and it's grown my faith and matured me in so many ways. But I'm choosing to do this, and I'm sitting there in the most suffering and the most pain I've ever been in my life. But at the end of the day, there's so many people that would give anything to run. There's so many people out there that would give anything to walk.
So true.
That are unable to ever. And it's this perspective shift of, man, there's so many things that we go through that are actually blessings, and maybe they're blessings in disguise for the time being, but at the end of the day, we know that God can use all things for the good of those that are called, that love him and are called according to his purpose. And so that's more perspective. It's knowing that no matter what it looks like during that moment, it can be used for good. The darkest times in our life, the most hard things we go through, can be used for good. We have to trust that. We have to have faith in that. And so again, it's that perspective of saying, man, I'm grateful that I get to go through this, because I don't know how. I don't have to know how, but I do know who says it, who gives me the promise that it's going to be used for good. And God always comes through on his promises.
And that's clinging to God's promises, even in the midst of life's processes, right? You don't have to go through these things. You get to go through these things. Doug, you just touched on something, though, that I want to go to now, right? 100 miler. First and foremost, give us just the backstory. Like, how did you do that? Did you train for this? What was this process like?
Yeah, man. I have a sports background, like I mentioned, played college basketball. And when I got done playing ball, I was like, man, where am I going to channel? I mean, you can relate to this as an athlete. You know, where am I going to channel all this energy, this passion
for and your competitiveness?
Yeah,
right?
Competitiveness, all of it, man. And so I said, I'm going to sign up for a marathon. And that was the first thing I did after I got done playing the December after my senior season. And up to that point, man, the most I'd ever run at once was maybe 5 miles. So to me, at the time, it's all, you know, it's cool to see how you grow and how your mind develops. But I thought running 26 miles was crazy.
That is crazy, Doug.
I was like, dude, how am I going to do that? And sure enough, you know, you train, you stick to a plan, you're disciplined, you show up every single day, you get 1% better, and you're able to accomplish the things that you put the time into. Mm. And I ran that marathon, and I got done with that, and I was like, man, you know, this was really hard, but I think I could do more. And so that led me to doing a 50-mile trail race about a year ago, actually, last March, in San Francisco. It was a really, really challenging feat. It was a lot of elevation, a lot of climbing, which made it way more difficult than just running a flat 50-miler. And then, again, I get to the end of that, and I'm like, I'm defeated. This was incredibly difficult and challenging, but I know there's more. Mm. And it's just this constant pursuit of just continuing to develop and never being content or complacent with, you know, where you are in life. And you know, trying to do it in the most healthy way that glorifies God and just gives him all the honor. I truly believe that none of these things would happen if it wasn't for God's strength and the strength of the Holy Spirit. But to kind of come full circle to it, just to kind of give you the context of what led to that, I didn't just wake up one day and say, I want to do 100.
Yeah, right.
I had some steps to get there, but I was actually in Georgia at a running event called Running Man and met a former veteran, Alex Hill, who owns a coconut business down in Florida. Wow. And he's like, man, what are you doing at the end of the year? And at the time, I was just working on another fitness challenge thing I did with a buddy called Project 7, which was basically an expanded Murph workout. We did a 7-mile run, 700 pull-ups, 700 push-ups, 700 air squats with a 20-pound weight vest.
Wow.
And that's what I was training for at the time. But I was like, I have nothing else planned after this. He's like, well, me and some friends are running 100 miles in December if you want to come. And I was like, dude, you can't say that to me, bro. Like, you can't just put that out there. Like, if you want to come, like,
oh my
like
goodness.
Dude, you know I want to come. So prayed about it and felt like the Lord gave me kind of the clearance to go. And I just committed to it. And I had about 6 weeks to train. And so
6 weeks.
I only trained for 6 weeks. Yeah. And so I'd been doing, you know, I'd been running, but not like 100-mile mileage. It was like, you know, way less than that, way less volume.
And let me ask you this real quick. How do you train for 100-mile volume? Yeah, seriously, you know what I mean? Are you running 50 miles like once a week? What does that look like?
Yeah, so I'll give Pierce a shout out. So Pierce Schau, he's an amazing guy. He's done some incredible endurance feats. He's the one I called because I knew he'd run, you know, some really crazy long distance races. And I said, hey man, I've got 6 weeks. What do you recommend? Because I'm like, I want to train as much as I can, but you have to balance, you know, high training volume with also making sure you try to stay as healthy and safe as possible.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, you want to be able to actually run on race day. And what we ended up doing is, you know, I would run anywhere probably from 5 to 8 miles most days during the week, depending on how my body felt. And then on the weekends, I would do back-to-back long runs. So I'd do anywhere from 10 to 20 miles on a Saturday and then 10 to 20 miles on a Sunday.
Gotcha.
And so instead of doing like one really long 50-mile run, I was getting used to the back-to-back long runs because I wanted my body to feel that over the span of 24 hours. Mm. Because when you run 100 miles, unless you're Usain Bolt, he does sprints, but it's going to take you about 24, 25, 26, up to 30 hours. So just kind of getting your body used to that level of volume. But that's what I did, man. And it was about a 4-week build, and then we had a 2-week taper, and then I went out there and sent it.
Brother, let me ask you this, another fun question. How long did it take you to complete your 100-mile?
Yeah, so that one took me 24 hours and 58 minutes.
Wow, bro. So you legitimately were running an entire day and a little over a day.
Little over a day, yeah. That was
wow.
That was it was a unique experience. You know, you go into it with an expectation, I guess, of what you envision or think it's going to be like. And there were so many things I learned, you know, through the night running. That was the night shift.
I can't imagine.
Was intense. And it was, you know, it got to the point where I was like pretty lonely. You know, we started the race with about 120 plus people, I believe. And I think about 15 of us finished roughly. So it started to kind of thin out as people, you know, were dropping. But yeah, during the middle of the night was when things got real.
That's, yeah, bro. I'm talking, I can't even imagine, like you said, the night shifts when there's not many people around you, just the bandwidth to say, I'm going to keep on going. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep enduring. I'm going to keep persevering, right? It reminds me of a simplistic thing that I learned years ago. I use it a lot when I'm counseling kids, when I'm coaching kids especially. It's a fun story that they remember. Dr. James Gills, I don't know if you've heard this story or not, but he's a guy who holds the world record for the most double Ironmans. So wow. For the listener that doesn't know what an Ironman is, 2.4 mile swim, 112 mile bike ride, 26.2 mile run, a marathon. He would do that. 24 hours later, he would do it all over again, right? So he has a world record. He did that 6 times throughout his life. His 6th time, the last time, was over the age of 50. So I'm like, holy cow, that's a crazy story. Yeah. And these kids are all like, no way, right? Well, then you hit them with the punch, which is helping them understand the significance of self-talk. Because they asked him, how did you do it? How'd you push through right on the night shift when you didn't feel like doing what you initially set out to do? And he said, I learned to talk to myself more than I listened to myself, right? Every day, if I were just to listen to the pain, to the soreness, to, you know, the agony of defeat, I would remind myself it's really not worth it type of thing. But if I spoke to myself, if I reminded myself of my purpose, of why I was doing what I was doing, it actually pushed me and propelled me closer to the finish line every single time. So for you, Doug, what I want to ask are, what are some of the lessons, right, beyond the perspective, beyond maybe self-talk, what are some lessons that you learned in the midst of this grueling 100-mile race you competed in?
Yeah, man, that's good. I love the self-talk one. I'll talk about some different ones, but that was one. There's a Navy SEAL, Chad Wright, that talks about don't give pain a voice.
Ooh.
And he talks about how the mind, you know, what comes out of your mouth affects you at the conscious and subconscious level, and so you have to choose what you say and what you believe. And that was one we did for sure. But, you know, I'll preface it. You know, I have a mentor, Steve Weatherford, who helped organize this race and was a NFL Super Bowl champion. He's, you know, won Super Bowls. He's won different accolades and all this stuff. And he told me, he said, I'm going to teach you something that's going to change your life. And if you truly adopt this, I truly believe you'll be able to accomplish a lot more in your life than you would otherwise. And he said, I want you to understand the difference between an amateur and a professional. And he said, an amateur makes decisions based off their feelings and emotions. He said, whereas professionals make decisions based off their commitments. He said, so when you commit to something, the decisions you make need to honor that commitment, no matter how you feel, no matter what emotions you're experiencing, because those things can go up and down. And at the end of the day, you need to make decisions based off your commitments. So first and foremost, when I committed to that race, I said, I'm going to be a professional. I'm going to approach this professionally. I'm going to execute this professionally, and I'm going to succeed professionally. And it was a non-decision. I wasn't going into this race saying, man, if I don't feel good, I'm just going to stop. It was like, that wasn't even on the table. I made the commitment to finish this race, and I was going to see it through. That was the first and foremost that kind of laid the foundation. But another one, you know, when anyone's trying to tackle something great in life, a big milestone, whether it be professionally, you know, athletically, relationally, whatever, we have to understand, we have to break it down in little small increments and steps. Literal steps, to get to 100 miles, you can't do it all at once. It takes one step at a time. It takes every single decision, every single action that stacks on top of each other to get you to that end goal. And I think that's something we can quickly lose sight of. We get overwhelmed by the distance between where we currently are and where we have to go. And that distance, that gap, can create a lot of doubt. It can create a lot of fear, and it can create a lot of people just honestly just giving up, to be honest with you. And so I think if we can have a mindset that can see the big picture, but at the same time can focus in on that next step, we're way more likely to find success. And the last thing I'll share is, I think it's really important to have the perspective that hard times, suffering, like we talked about, is temporary. Like, no matter what you're going through, it is temporary. But the decisions that we make in those hard times, those last forever. Those are etched in history. And we had a 30-hour cutoff on the race, and I was sitting there in the most pain I've ever been in my life. And I'm like, man, I'm going to be in pain whether I finish this and am proud of the effort that I put in, the commitment I made to myself, or if I quit. The pain's going to be there regardless. The decisions I make will last forever. And so I was like, dude, I'm going to keep pushing. I'm going to keep going. It's such a privilege. And in the midst of the most painful parts of that race, I was honestly envisioning Jesus on the cross. And I was like, he endured more pain than I'll ever be able to fully comprehend out of love for me. And that to me got me through it, bro. I promise. I was praying and the Holy Spirit gave me the strength and the endurance to finish it. And I give him all the credit and the glory for that.
Amen.
But I truly, in those moments of suffering, I was like, dude, this is temporary. This is so temporary. My decisions last forever. This is temporary. But thank God for what Jesus did for me and how much he loves me.
That's what, you know, Eric Thomas always says, that pain is inevitable, but pain is temporary. It may last for a second, a minute, an hour, a day, a week, a month, a year, a decade. For some people, it may last a lifetime.
Yeah.
But eventually it will subside, right? But if we quit, however, it'll last forever.
That's
exactly what you're saying, right?
That's right.
Don't quit. Your decisions are what will last forever. Those things are eternal. You know, you brought up that word commitment. I think there's a lot of people, Doug, who make a lot of commitments, right? And, but in a sense, they can become empty promises. They're like, hey, I want to do an Ironman. I want to do a marathon. I want to do a 100-mile race, right? I make the commitment to myself, but then they lack the necessary consistency to follow through with their commitment, right? There's a difference between motivation and discipline. Motivation, it's external, it's fleeting, it's the quote on the wall, it's the podcast, it's the speaker that makes you feel something because it's feelings-based. But discipline is doing what you know you should do rather than doing what you'd rather do, right? So it's actually putting in the work and showing up even when you don't feel like it. Doug, there's somebody out there, I know it, who's listening, who has made a lot of commitments in their life, who maybe is too easily letting themselves down and not following through with what they said they were going to do far after that, the feeling they said it in has left. What's just a pressing word of advice, of encouragement, that you would give that person in this moment to stay disciplined even when they don't feel motivated?
Yeah, I love talking about this because this is something that, man, I'm a pretty hype, energetic, passionate person.
Yeah.
And I love to, I'm all for the motivation. I'm all for all of that. But to your point, you know, that's not something you can bank on.
Right.
You know, it goes up, it goes down, you have it, you lose it. But at the end of the day, you always have the choice to be disciplined. And I tell people all the time, because people have asked me, you know, how did you have the motivation to run 100 miles? I don't have the motivation to run 5 miles or 3 miles, whatever, or just run.
Right.
And I'm like, listen, it's really not a matter of motivation. It's a matter of discipline. Do you have the discipline to do the things that you should do, even though you don't feel like doing them? But what I want to unpack, and then I'll touch on discipline, is I think sometimes the people that struggle with discipline really have a disconnect with the value they have on themselves. Because if we really get to the core of this,
that's good.
Sometimes it's not even a discipline issue. Sometimes it's an issue that we don't fully recognize or are conscious and aware of how valuable we truly are. God created us a masterpiece.
Yes.
That we can be made whole and complete through his son, Jesus, to do all the good works he has for us.
Yes.
We have to walk with that excitement, that confidence. We have to walk and be good stewards of knowing that we are his masterpiece. We are his perfect creation that fell short, but through Jesus, we can be made complete and whole. And so when we have that understanding of that, every decision we make, our life has so much meaning. He loves us so much. That should give you the encouragement to be disciplined, to do the things you know you should, even when you don't want to, because you have value, you have purpose.
Yes.
All of us have purpose and God can use us all. And so that's kind of the foundation I like to help people with. But something encouraging from my testimony with discipline is even when we don't want to be disciplined, if we can just commit to it, every single time that I've been disciplined in an area of my life that I know is going to serve my purpose and what God's called me to, it becomes a desire. Discipline becomes desire, dude. Like, one of the best examples is my relationship with the Word of God, with the Bible. There have been so many parts of, or, you know, time of my life where I have not been very consistent or attracted to reading the Bible. I've read it as the book that Christians are supposed to read infrequently whenever I think I need it.
Yeah.
But since the end of last year, I said, I'm going to be committed and disciplined in my time in the Word and give God my first and my best in the morning. It is so cool to see how God has transformed my heart and created a desire that has stemmed from a discipline. Something that I didn't necessarily desire at first has now become something that I crave and yearn for. And I think that can happen in so many areas of our life, man, when we're disciplined in the areas that can help us and can build us into the things and the people that God has called us to be. And so that's honestly what I would say. But like you said, at the end of the day, it's truly understanding the value first and foremost of who you are and why you should be disciplined. Because people are like, okay, I get it to be disciplined, to do the things I want to do. But you have to understand why you should be disciplined. You have value and you have a purpose on your life.
So good, bro. We have a purpose on our life. It reminds me of Craig Rochelle's word that he shared in our most recent Ignite Men's Impact Weekend, right? Where he said, you'll never succeed until you stop trying. And everyone in the room was like, what? Stop trying. He's like, stop trying and start training, right? There's a difference, again, between motivation and discipline. Some of you just spoke on, though, consistently disciplined in your Bible reading, being in God's Word every day. You have something that's really cool where you're doing push-ups in the Word, right? Yeah. Share with our listeners a little bit about that, because I think that's so unique.
Yeah, man, I'd love to. So it all started at, honestly, last November was a big month for me in terms of just growth, and God just started working in my heart, and I was able to meet guys like Steve Weatherford, Garrett Unkelbach, who, you know, have been leaders and poured into me spiritually. Yeah. And, you know, I'm like, God has put this desire on my heart to lead men, to help sharpen men. And again, I think it's cool to see how we need leaders in our life, people that can pour into us, and that's really important. But a lot of the passions and desires I have in my heart have stemmed from the experiences and the suffering that I've been through as a kid. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm in a place where, as I've matured in my faith, I'm like, okay, let's go, God, use me. Like, let me go serve the people that I once was, the people that need this encouragement. And a lot of the guys that I feel called to serve are younger men. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was like, what does that look like? You know, what does it mean to truly fear the Lord? What does it truly mean to walk with Him? What does it truly mean to put our relationship and our intentional time with Him above the other things in our life? And so I was like, man, where are guys struggling? I feel like a lot of guys like myself are struggling with their relationship with the Word of God.
Yes.
And a lot of them are struggling with physical discipline. And I felt like the Lord put on my heart to do a challenge called Proverbs and Push-Ups. And so for the month of December, we read a chapter of Proverbs every morning.
That's it.
And then 100 push-ups. And we had 50 guys do it with 50 of my friends. Cool. It was so fun. And guys were getting into it. And what I quickly saw, like we just touched on, some of these guys told me, they said, when I reached out to them about it, they're like, it's honestly an answered prayer. They're reaching out. But the fact is, I have not been disciplined in these areas of my life, and I'm excited. And God moved in crazy ways in a lot of these guys' lives. But that helped me a ton. And when we get to the beginning of the year, you know, it's a big time for a lot of people to make commitments to what they want their year to be like. I said, I'm going to create a list of 5 daily disciplines.
Yeah.
I want to keep it to 5. I don't want more than 5. I want to be able to look at my hand and see each finger and see the disciplines. And so the ones that I adopted and committed to were reading the Bible first and foremost, praying out loud, 100 daily push-ups, and I do that in order. So I get in, I have a devotional, I get in the Word, I pray out loud, and then I go directly into push-ups. And that's my morning kind of routine. And it's been really, really powerful. The fourth one is to develop myself, you know, professionally and self-development in some form or fashion, whether it's a book, podcast, conversation, go to an incredible event like Ignite. You know, those are areas where I'm growing and I'm becoming who God's called me to be. And the last one is to encourage at least one person.
Come on.
Through a phone conversation, a FaceTime, posting content, doing a podcast, or speaking on a stage. And these 5 disciplines have truly changed my life. They've helped me become a better leader. They've helped me mature in a lot of ways, and I haven't been perfect, but those are the 5 that I really stick to. And again, they're all rooted in giving God my first and my best, and the discipline has truly helped me a lot.
You know, this is a perfect segue and connecting point, because something I really appreciate and, you know, love about you, Doug, is that you're somebody that not only gives so much, you pour into others so much, but you also highly value connectivity, relationship, and being poured into. Like you said, you mentioned Steve Weatherford, you mentioned Garrett Unkelbach, you've mentioned several other names, guys that your closest friends that are mentoring you, coming alongside of you. And why is that important? Because we weren't made to be alone, man. We were not made to live in isolation, to live in alienation. All of these things are the enemy, not only to our faith, but to progress and to growth in general. We need people, battle buddies, people fuel, all of these things, Doug. So for a second here, speak to the listener or the viewer out there who maybe is trying to do hard things, but maybe they're not succeeding because they don't have anybody going along through the suffering alongside of them. They don't have anybody holding them accountable. They don't have anybody encouraging them, uplifting them, carrying through life when maybe they don't feel like they can take one more step. Why is people feel so important, Doug?
Wow, it's so important. And I'll be honest, the Steves and the Garretts and, you know, these incredible men who I'm so fortunate and blessed to be led by didn't just fall out of the sky. Yeah. These were people that I prayed for. These were people that I came to God and said, Lord, I want to be used. And I recognize, like you mentioned, I recognize the importance of having a leader in my life. I want to pour out. I want to pour out constantly. But I know in order to do that effectively, I need people pouring into me, helping, you know, refine me and sharpen me and point me ultimately back to Jesus. I need leaders who are going to point me to Jesus. And that's, you know, I'm just so grateful that God blessed me in that way and answered that prayer and put those men in my life. But, you know, we talk a lot about having kind of your three groups of men in your life, your Pauls, your Barnabases, and your Timothys. Yes. Paul is the people that can be spiritual leaders in your life, people that can speak into your life, people that can really just help you become the person that you're called to be. Your Barnabas is your brothers, the people that can go alongside you, that can be your encouragers, that can be your sharpeners, that can hold you accountable to things that you're maybe stepping out of line doing, and can also lift you up and give you that encouragement when you need it. And then obviously, when you have those two people kind of locked in, you should hopefully be able to encourage other important other people and your Timothys and the people that you know you see as opportunities to invest into and to spend time helping them grow. And it's this beautiful cycle. And I actually have I'm really big on lists, and you know I love relationships, but I have I call it my PBT list and my notes, and I have my Pauls, I have my Barnabas and my Timothys, and I keep a list of them, and I just, you know, that list will change depending on the season of life you're in, but it's cool to be able to quickly look at those lists and see those people in my life. But community is really important. And like you said, we're not supposed to do this life alone. Finding places to be involved with communities that are seeking the things that you want to seek. Ignite, you know, I keep referencing it, but it's such a powerful community. It's one that I'm grateful that I got to experience. But again, it's finding people that are going in the same direction you're going and are leading you to the places that you want to go. And our friends and the people we surround ourselves with have such a big impact on us, again, at the conscious and subconscious level. And if we're not cognizant of that and aware of that, it will truly, it could dictate, you know, the places we're able to go. And I think God is really big on alignment, and he's really big on making sure where our heart is. Yes. And those are some things we should factor in and consider as we're choosing and making those decisions on who we spend our time with.
Let me tell you this, Doug. We've talked about perspective. We've talked about purpose. We've talked about preparation. We've talked about the significance of his presence, people fuel. But now to kind of bow tie our conversation on suffering, I'm reminded of several of God's promises, right? I think of James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, which is really what this whole conversation has been about. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith goes on to produce perseverance. So let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, lacking nothing. Romans 5, 3 and 4 say something very similar, that we are called to glory in our sufferings because we know that our sufferings produce perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Right? There's somebody out there, Doug, that I know just needs one more push. They need one more word. And what I always love to do here on the podcast is allow our guest to share a special word that they feel like God has placed on their heart for such a time as this as we wrap things up. Doug, for you, the person out there who's discouraged, who's trying, but maybe is frustrated, maybe feels like there's a lot of unmet expectations, maybe he's growing impatient, maybe doesn't fully understand the character of our God and his faithfulness. What's a final word of hope, encouragement, and motivation that you believe will help them spark and live a life that's truly built different?
Wow, that's good. The promises of God are so powerful and they get me excited. Yeah. I'd say maybe, just maybe, God wants to use you. Maybe, just maybe, the things that you're going through right now, the things you're experiencing, are opportunities for him to truly complete you like he says he's going to do. And I think it's so hard for us to realize that in the moment, but maybe, just maybe, God has something so great in store for your life that you can't fully see because you're in the storm, but that storm is going to give you everything you need to be able to go out and do the things that he's called you to. Maybe, just maybe, the things that you're walking through are actually the things that you're going to be able to go back and say, look, God did this. This is my testimony. And it's not about my strength or my weaknesses, but it's all about him. It's all about glorifying him and giving him everything. Maybe, just maybe, that's going to be your story. And maybe, just maybe, if you keep going and continue to have faith, you're going to be able to tell that story and actually impact a lot of people for the kingdom.
Maybe, just maybe, what you believe Satan is using to defeat or destroy you, God is ultimately going to use to strengthen and develop you on the road ahead. Doug Elks, help our listeners and viewers understand a little bit more about where they can find out more about you, all the incredible things that you're doing, social media page, websites, podcasts. Just give them a brief overview of all of those things for a second.
Yeah, man. Well, first off, this has been an incredible conversation, and I'm so grateful for you, man.
Grateful for you, bro.
Everything you're doing. But yeah, you can find me on Instagram. It's probably where I'm most active. Instagram, TikTok, at Doug Elks, just keeping it simple.
Yep.
And then my website is DougElks.com for anything speaking related. And then I own a supplement company called Kaizos, KAIZOS.CO. It's a fun brand where we just want to help people with their health and wellness. And we've got a couple other projects in the works right now. That I'm excited to hopefully share soon. But those are the main places. And then my podcast is called the AIM Podcast, like we've spoken about, AIM, staying for ambition on mine, and we're on all platforms. So that's where you can find me.
I can't wait to get you back on here soon to talk about some of the incredible things and opportunities God is continuing to open doors for you in the road ahead, my friend. Hey, Doug Elks, thank you again for being here in Lynchburg. Thank you for making the trip up. Thank you for the wealth of wisdom and knowledge you have just instilled within all of us. I love and appreciate you, my friend. Thanks for your willingness to join me today.
Man, thank you so much. Love you, bro. I appreciate it.
You guys, as we close, I'm so grateful again that Doug was willing to join us just to share some of the incredible insights and just wisdom and knowledge and lessons and principles that he's learned throughout some of the toughest moments of his life, some of the most excruciating pain. But yet it's so incredible to see how when we have that level of ambition and when we have the right perspective, we too can begin to find glory and joy in the midst of our suffering. As we close today, I just wanted to remind you of one of my favorite quotes. Mike Tyson once said, "Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth." Let's be honest. Oftentimes, life can send some unexpected blows that closely resemble a knockout punch. The diagnosis of a debilitating disease or health challenge, a crumbling marriage, loss of a job, a prodigal son or daughter, death of a loved one, financial woes, a deferred dream, and so much more. Life can be painful. Things don't always go our way or the way we wanted or expected them to. Sometimes hard times just keep stacking up on top of each other, and sometimes life just isn't the way it's supposed to be. But I'm reminded of the words, my friends, of one of my favorite movies, Rocky Balboa. He says, "This world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and it'll beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody's gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward, because that's how winning is done." My friend, you may be in the fight of your life right now, but on the journey forward, let me encourage you today in knowing that God never wastes a wound. God can take what Satan meant for evil and turn it into something good. God never promised the absence of pain in this life, but he does promise his presence in the midst of our pain. And I love the words from one of my favorite worship songs. "It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you." Friend, in the midst of your pain, in the midst of the chaos, I would encourage you to lean into the comfort of Christ today. Let God use your moments of brokenness and powerlessness to draw you closer to his heart. So don't give up, and make the choice today that you're not just going to go through your pain and your suffering. You're going to choose to grow through it. Because when you do, I know this, my friend, you'll keep moving forward. You guys, as always, just wanted to thank you so much for joining us today. We love being a part of your life, and we hope to see you right back here next time on the Built Different Podcast.